Today, of course, is the last day of Unleavened Bread. It is the very last service. And here's my PowerPoint. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Thank you. Okay, we're going to talk about this real quick. Because as you have heard several times, can I go in front of the speaker? Do I dare? Several times we've heard about the number 7. See, if I go this way, I'll manage to knock the flowers over. I just know it. The number 7. And we've talked about that. It is a point of completion. And when I started to prepare for this message, I was on the internet. I do that too. And I was looking for something specific in regards to the seventh day. I did come across an article that I thought was quite interesting. Did you realize, at least by this article, and you may or may not agree, this is something I'm just putting out to you, that these 7 days, and realize again that this is completion, these 7 days represent your Christian life. First day of unleavened bread is your beginning, your Christian walk, brought to you in part by your acceptance, your repentance, baptism, of course, Passover. Those are all significant, right? You continue on until this final point, which could be a Christian's death. Now, understand that death, of course, is not a bad thing to God at all. He accepts it and is joyful about the idea that a Christian has made it and has died in the faith. We too should feel the same way. But along the way, I wonder what happens to us. Yeah, the sun is going to set today, and we're all probably going to look for a hamburger or a donut or something of this sort. But the point of it is these 7 days being significant as your life, as a Christian, we do not bring in, hopefully, this form of leavening or sin back into our life. Now, you'll note here that I have progression. This is something I've dreamt up in one sense after reading the article. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be progressing in life. However, if you were like me, you regress. 2 steps forward sometimes, sometimes back a little. These things are inevitable, I think, for most of us. And if we are accepting of that fact, we can get help. We know what to do. We understand that there are those people, just as Mr. Scriber was talking about this morning. If you have a question, you can access people that have had the similar situation. You can talk to a minister. You can do a lot of things that will help you from doing those same things again. This, again, I've titled A Christian Life in regards to these 7 days. Now, influences that you may have in regards to that are spiritual and physical. And my wife is going, here he goes again. He brings in the spiritual and the physical. My idea behind that, though, is you cannot exist as a Christian without bringing in the spiritual elements of your life with it physically. We did that this week. Really, think about it. When you put leavening out of your life, that was a spiritual application that we were really trying to achieve by putting out that leavening in actuality. You know, I don't think God was that. And it wasn't that important to him that we not have the hamburger, you might say. What was important for him was the example and the reminder that we are to be unleavened. That doesn't cease because sun sets today. Finite. That's another example. You and I as Christians have to realize that we have a certain number of days. You and I may obviously have varying points of life. Some of us will live a long time. Others of us will not. Fact of life. Time and chance. Rains on everyone, you might say. The infinite part of this is God's plan. His salvation. He being omnipotent in our lives and omnipresent and omniscient. Can you help me, Robert? That's a word that you always help me with. Omnipotence, I can't say it. It's omniscience, how's that? There you go. I didn't want to put that word in there, but I had to. But That's what we talk about in regards to all of this. And I think it was really significant to think about that really these days could very much represent the whole fact of our life from beginning to end, the Alpha and the Omega. The point of it being is that you are, as a Christian, one who begins a new life. I see that new life in this congregation in the sense that a few years ago, we went through a new life. We started again. We were a little shaken by all of that, but we did it. And I just want to thank every one of you here today for all the input that everything that you make that is so real in our lives as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. All the music, all the input of food, everything that you do, there isn't anyone in here from the youngest to the oldest that hasn't had a major impact on these days and on your life and on my life. I pray it always be so. We all have a responsibility to make those things happen. You and I have certain scriptures that carry us through. I can think of a few that are significant to me. Isaiah 40 is always essential to me because those who wait upon the Lord will gain their strength. They will mount out as on eagles, if you will allow me to paraphrase. Down here somewhere, Revelation 21, it is a big deal for me. Big. There are so many things within this that you can think about that the model prayer and what it teaches, the Beatitudes and what they mean, the Proverbs, a book of wisdom, the Psalms, songs that carry you through, messages that mean something to every one of us here, all the significant points that you can add from life from the beginning to the end, and end with the idea of, even so, Lord Jesus, come. There's endurance, there's faith, there's mercy, there's, yes, even works, all put into some form of perspective in order to achieve this completion. So this seventh day, we stand here knowing that you and I have not completed the race. We may have tried to fight the good fight. We hope that we end up being able to say we have fought the good fight. And lying is a crown not only for me, but for everyone else. That's essential too. So this is my attempt at PowerPoint. As you can see, it is a very old piece of paper as well. It expresses who I am. You see, this tape here, this adhesive here, is my form of putting it all together and gluing it together and making you understand that it'll be a long day when you see Jim Ford in front of a computer pressing buttons showing you a PowerPoint. But there's hope for all of us. Maybe. I said it'd be a long day. I didn't say never. But I hope that this will help us in trying to look at what these days might mean to every one of us, because they're our life from beginning to end. I think that's so beautiful to think about. And to realize that when we talk about God's plan, and we always stand here and we'll say, well, you know what? All the holy days are a depiction of God's plan. Well, here's a real, realistic view, at least for me, of my life. I don't know where I am in this. I think I'm sort of over here somewhere, but I mean, I'd like to, you know, sometimes you think, oh, I'd like to be over here and let Jesus Christ just come and we don't face any of these things, as we may have heard also this morning, but reality sets in as your hair turns white. So, should I leave it here or put my beautiful PowerPoint away for you? Significant to do to remind myself of what's really going on. I want to share with you now some scriptures that are important to me as I begin my rest of my year, you might say, as the sun sets today. And I would ask you to turn to Romans 8, please. Romans 8. Practically every scripture that I will read to you today, someone has read through this week. I took them all. In Romans 8, it is essential for you and I, and incidentally, hello to everyone out there on the radio and in Michigan or wherever you might be today. Is it Kentucky or Michigan? Kentucky? Well, hi, Kentucky. So we're all here together sharing this, and it says in verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. You see, we start with the beginning here of the sacrifice has set us free and we are no longer condemned. That's the beginning. Well, it was. The beginning. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now that shouldn't change when the sun sets tonight. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has been made free from the law of sin and death. In other words, we have been spared what was to be the condemnation of our life and a death sentence. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, we're going to set this whole message into motion by reading these 11 verses and becoming more aware of what was intended as to what we are to do every day, but particularly as we now set forth again and, you might say, step out again into the world. One thing I have found that it is a whole lot easier for me to keep the days of unleavened bread at the house. Since I've been retired, it isn't the issue that it once was. Obviously, the house is cleaned. It is prepared for the days of unleavened bread. And unless you have a son who brings in some licorice that's full of soda, I will tell you, the poor kid, he was being kind. He says, he's weighing, well, cookies or licorice? Cookies, oh, well, I'll bring in licorice because, after all, that's not leaven. And I will tell you, I would have never read the label. Of course, us Fords, we eat quickly. We don't read much. We just eat. And it just so happened that Julie read, and he felt so bad. And really, who would have thought? So just be aware that if you like licorice, you might want to read the label. I had no clue. I'll tell you that. But it was a good experience in one sense. It taught us again that no matter whether you think you are in your safe haven, you can be bitten. It can reach out and get you. You can be at the house. You can be in your safe domain. And yet you can still find yourself with a piece of licorice. My son feels real bad right now, but he shouldn't, because he shared with us such a valuable lesson. Because it's true. It's true. You may be sitting there at the house thinking, oh, it's good. There's not a one of us, because of who we are and how physical we are, can think that we are exempted, that we are safe, that we will never face any adversity because we are where we are. It will reach out and get you. There's no doubt in my mind. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh in verse 5, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So it's where you put your mind. Where are you? What are you doing? For to the carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It hates the whole view of God in actuality. I used to play tennis with a guy that once, he was so anti-God, this was fascinating to me, that one time, you see, I'll give you etiquette in regards to tennis. You're not supposed to cross a court while people are playing. And that's wise, too, because you can get hurt. That ball does sting. I can tell you that. But this poor lady decides it's time to cross. So she goes across. He is not happy with that, and I'll admit, nor was I. We're playing. Don't you understand? And she turns to him and said, God bless you. He was so offended by her comment. I will not tell you what he said he would have preferred to hear, but it wasn't nice. The very fact that he heard that just blew him away. And it sort of reminds me in a very shallow way what the scripture is saying here. They don't want to hear it. Why? Well, in part is because, what, the Coke's working already? Bye, Mr. DeSoto. I thought I could hang on for 10 minutes with you, bud. This hurts. Not even 10 minutes and he's gone. Someone check. Make sure you're in out for pizza. No, but anyways. Sure, blame poor Zach. Yeah, okay, I used to pinch my kids so I could leave services too. No. But just kidding. No, not really. Some of those were long. Oh, yeah, that's my excuse. But anyways, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Well, as we heard in the opening prayer this morning from Mr. Pope, when he talked about moving and looking towards Pentecost and its significance, I couldn't think about how beautiful our life is in that sense, because it is always moving forward. It is always looking at the next step. Why? Because if you don't look at your next step, you can do like I do, stub your toe a lot, and it hurts. It hurts. I'm accident prone. I did the finger to stay awake, and I stubbed my toe yesterday to make sure I didn't sleep well. All of those things that everyone does during life, right? But the point of it is if you're not watching where you're going, you're usually going to regress instead of progress. And that's what you and I need to remember today as the sun sets and we go back on that seventh day, because we aren't really complete yet, are we? We're not complete. I turn your attention now to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And the reason why I do so, you might say, what is he doing? It seems as though he's going to preach this gloom and doom service today. And the fact of the matter is, I'm going to tell you what I think life is. I'm going to share with you what I think it's necessary for us to recognize and to become complete. To understand that we aren't finished yet. We need to fill in those gaps. Remember how I had this part here where we talked about, we show the different days? We show the different days here real quick. I guess I should have just left it stand up. But here we have this gap from the first through the seventh. That's our life. Well, we are filling in those blanks. You have free moral agency. You have the right to choose. God doesn't tell you you must and be absolute about it. You're going to choose whether you do. He tells you what you must do in order to achieve eternal salvation. You make up your mind what you're going to do. You choose. It's called being a free moral agent. And have you guys turned to 1 Thessalonians? You have. Okay, well, could you wait for me just a second? I'm going to get there. Timing's everything, isn't it? We're going to talk about the day of the Lord. Here again it says, but concerning the times in verse 1, and the seasons I, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. You really shouldn't have to. I don't need to tell you. That's what he's really saying to me. That's what I hear. I'm not really, I don't need to talk about it. But here's the reminder. Why? Because we're not complete yet. We haven't finished the race. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. You see, there won't be a great deal of fanfare when all of these things are going around us. Really, as you live your life now, think about what all is going on around this world. I read about this, just blew me away and hurt me so badly. I read about a 15-year-old girl in Trenton, New Jersey, who sold her 7-year-old sister to 7 men. last week. Not 1,000 years ago, not 50 years ago, current. They did what they willed to her. Oh yeah, they were arrested, but can you imagine what has happened to that girl? Do you want that life? No, you don't. Nor do I. But this is the inevitable fact of our life and those around us. Karen and our whole family went to the feast in Pennsylvania, so we landed in Newark, New Jersey. We've spent some time around that area very quickly. I don't mean, it was just an in and out. I don't mean to make it sound that way, but it was almost as though I could associate with this. I could see those tenements. You see, I grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire. And in that area, a lot of neighborhoods are these tenement houses. And this is where this girl was victimized, in a tenement. I wonder what her surroundings were. What was the rest of that place like? I bet it wasn't utopia. This is the environment that so many people are living in. You realize how blessed we are? That which much is given, much is expected. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Hey, wait a minute. Wait. I've been called out. I'm a child of God. I'm a baptized member. I have God's Spirit dwelling in me. These things can't happen to me. They won't happen to me. We could turn to Ecclesiastes. We won't, for the sake of time. And we could see the time prospect or perspective in so many ways, not just in chapter 3. But the fact of the matter is that you and I are part of that time element in life. That's the physical. That's the finite time that you and I have. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's more the influence and the effect of that which goes around us. It's happening around us. You think you come off unscathed? No way. The stuff we see on TV, our family, our parents would not have accepted. Our grandparents would have practically died out of shock for what we see and what is we are exposed to, and worse, what our children are exposed to. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. You see, you are a representative. You are to let your light shine. We could turn to Matthew 5, not Matthew 5, but in Matthew, and see where we are to be that light, that we are not to keep our light under a basket. We're to be able to show what we have and to be that light that so many people need. Now, that isn't to beat them over the head or to swing a sword in a direction without being able to fulfill something. You can't remove it and leave it open. It's like a festering wound. You've got to be able to provide the salve that these people need to heal. That requires you and I to be in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, it's not drinking. It means being self-controlled. It means being disciplined. It means being aware of your surroundings, and it means doing what it takes to achieve that goal. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of that day, of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. We could turn to Ephesians 6. We know the drill. We see it. We do not fight against principalities. We don't really fight against the government. We don't fight against an opposition in government in the sense of other countries of any magnitude as we talk about the spiritual aspects of our life and that which is needed in order to achieve eternal salvation. Yes, nation is fighting against nation. We know that. We'll turn to some scriptures and read that. But that's not our fight. But we are affected. For God did not appoint to us wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another. Edify one another. Remember how Mr. Scriber turned to Hebrews 10 and he talked in verses 23, 24, and 25, I believe. It talks about doing those things and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we're here today, sleepy as we might be, tired as we might be. I mean, let's face it, we do get to where you can only sit so long and you can only hear someone so long. I understand that. But you're doing it. We're working at it. We're going to achieve it, aren't we? We're going to complete it. I promise I'm going to be done sometime soon, before the sunset. Therefore, just as you were doing, build up one another. That's what we're supposed to do. You see, that's what the music does. That's what service does. That's what the snacks do. That's what food does. That's what you do when you greet someone. That's what you do when you say, hey, I care. That's what you do when you say, hi. That's what you do when you say, I don't maybe know what you're going through, but I want you to know I care. And if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. And if they do, be ready to do it. So often we might say, hey, let me know. And we may not really want to hear them say, you know what? I could use some help. Luke 21. Uh-oh, he's going to the end times. Yes, I am. Why? Because if the Lord should tarry, these are things you and I are going to see. This isn't Disney World. Those are all good things. I'm not saying that. This isn't SeaWorld, Disney World, Disneyland. These are all good things. You know, these are things set aside that you and I can take in and enjoy. And there are times when we need to do that. But so often, I guess I'm getting so old and so old school. I don't know. As my family will tell you, my brother-in-law very much liked doing things. Oh, Jimmy doesn't like to do anything. He just wants to. He used to mimic me. I guess I'm a moaner, as I told you. He was right. But you know what my answer to him was? Fun's overrated. Bah humbug. You may or may not agree, but the reality of it is when we are facing adversity, when we face those things that are not as comfortable as they ought to be, most of the time you learn a little something, don't you? At least you learn about yourself. When you're too busy having fun, it's really... And believe me, I do like to have fun. I haven't figured it out yet, but I do like it, I think. But what I'm trying to say is that you don't get as much out of it, I think, sometimes. Now, that isn't to say, oh, please give me a trial. I don't want any of those, really. I know that they're there. We can turn to James. I understand. But my point is that you and I are not supposed to be partying like everyone else is partying, if I could use that vernacular. We're to be aware. We're to be sober. We're supposed to stand in the gap and tell people. Here it is, guys. Now, there are ways of doing that. And I am aware of that as well. I'm not the best at it. But I will suggest to you that you and I need to educate ourselves about what our God intends, what our Father has for us to deliver. Yes, I know there is scripture that says that to not worry, to stand and wait, and he will give you the words. But I also know that you're to be ready to give an answer. There's always that side, isn't there? There's always another side. And that's what I'm telling you today. You and I need to choose the right side today. Because as the day sets, we get back into our world, and it is very easy to slip. I know I've shared this with you. I'm going to share it with you real quick. When I was out in the workforce and dealing with so many people, I really took that hard. That was hard for me. And I remember in particular, the Feast of Tabernacles was such a big deal. It took me about 5 days to calm down. The last three were so fantastic. I always remember that. Wow, you know, and this is really great. And then I went into severe depression, post-feast blues, before I even went home. Okay? I had the pre-post. You ever have a pre-post? That ain't easy. That's hard to do. You see how coordinated I am pre-post. The point of it was that I was already lamenting the fact that I was going to have to get out there. But I was going to do those things that I had set forth in those last 3 days. Okay? I was going to achieve all those things. And within 3 weeks, it seemed like I had regressed back to pretty much the old gym. You see, there's progression. There's regression. For Karen, there's physical and spiritual. Okay? So, she's going to lecture me. I know when I get home, so I just thought I'd go ahead and put that out now. But anyways, you know, the fact of the matter is that really we face so much, and if we do not prepare ourselves, if we don't gird our loins, if we don't put on that armor, then we're going to have a difficult time. And that's going to continue for every one of us here. Let me just say that. I'm not a prophet, I'm not anything, but I ain't dumb either. I can see it coming, and I think you can too. It is changing. The world we live in, even post 9/11, just put it in that perspective, since 2001, has changed drastically. And when you put in the whole fact of now, I think most of us are more aware of another religion that we probably didn't pay that much attention to be honest with you. And there are those factions within that faith that would like to make sure that you don't succeed, that you don't even breathe. I'm glad to live in this country. I'm so grateful for the freedoms that it extends to all of us. And for those who went before us and those that are there now standing in those gaps and fighting those wars in order to protect us. Sometimes we take that for granted, or we may even be somewhat negative about that. But the fact of the matter is, we've been given so much because of them. I had the privilege of having a father that was there in World War II. He told me he felt he had no choice, because without doing what was necessary, we wouldn't have a country. You wouldn't have the freedom to express those things that you don't like. You wouldn't have the freedom of religion. You wouldn't have the freedom of the peace that we all share today. You wouldn't have the right to burn the flag. You wouldn't have a right to condemn those who are our leaders. That's sad to think that there are so many of us that want to do that. Why don't we pay Caesar what Caesar is due and go on with our life as Christians? There are times when we will stand up, I would hope and pray, when, for an example, we see such things going on as abortion and these types of things that are just so wrong and out of control. But the fact of the matter is, there is so much that we concern ourselves with that we probably waste too much time doing. When we read in verse 7, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be, and what signs will there be about these things and about what's to take place? And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. Well, again, you've been hearing me just rant and rave for the last few minutes about being sober, being vigilant. Vigilant. That's a new word. See, it's the afternoon. Vigilant. Could be diligent and vigilant. I don't know. Or vigilant. I don't know. Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come by and in my name saying, I am he. And the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. There's so much out there, isn't there? There's so much out there on the internet. There's so much out there on television. Like most of you, I have a dish, cable TV, whatever you want to call it, that so many people have, whether it be direct dish or cable. The exposure, the number of channels, the amount of religious programming that you can see. And here. And unless you and I were prepared to hear and see these things, some of this will really trip us up. It behooves every one of us to become more aware and educated in what we are exposed to. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end still is not coming immediately. There's so much that you and I look out at and see and hear, whether we're watching the news or some type of programming, that is so startling to me. I heard just, when was it, this morning on the news or reading in the paper or something, that we were going to increase our sanctions, or were we asking that the world increase their sanctions on Iran. And Mr. or President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad shared with us, bring it on, bring it on. Well, think about it. That is a tinder keg waiting to explode. If you don't think they have nuclear weapons, I don't know for sure. I can't sit here, but I can tell you they're working diligently. They're sober about what their aim is. They ain't sleeping about it. They're not playing games about it. And actually, they're being pretty honest about it. Hey, we're wanting to bury you. We're going to take care of you. You're an infidel. We want you out of here. At least they don't mix. I mean, it isn't like, excuse me, what did you say? What did you really mean? No, I would think even I can get that. I wouldn't want to be in the same room with a guy if he has a sword. I might look pretty big, but I'm pretty wussy with that type of situation. I can tell you that I would not trust him. And I would say to you that there are many situations such as that. Look at the fiasco that Israel had when Mr. Biden was there and all of these problems, and they're trying to tell Jerusalem or Israel how to build, where to build, what to do. And this, that in itself is concerning to me. But Mr. Netanyahu has been threatened as far as his government and what will happen to him and so on and so forth. All these things continue to go on. You can look at one of our allies today and look at how even England, their government has been somewhat difficult lately. And I would suggest to you there are those of us here in this country that feel the same way about our own government. Things are changing so drastically that we don't see them like we did. It's interesting to me, again, to think about some of your relatives that may have completed their time here. And say they were resurrected, just physically resurrected. I've wondered about, my grandfather died in the early 30s, what he would think. Or even my father, who just died 10 years ago, what he would think. There's been a great deal of change. Maybe you and I shouldn't change with it, though. You see? Be sober. Be diligent. Then he said, nation will rise against nation in verse 10, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. What do you think? You want to share that with people in Haiti or Chile or Mexico? This last earthquake yesterday was in Mexico, was felt not only by Mexico, but the United States, as far as California, Arizona, where else? Nevada. I'm going to pronounce it as Nevada. There's lots going on. There's lots going on. Julie was sharing with me yesterday, and it was a privilege. I hope that you all enjoyed the beginning of your last day yesterday and made an effort. It was really neat. My family came out. They've been real good, so they're my family. They might be yours come Pentecost. I don't know. Things change. But they came out, and we were talking, and Julie was talking about Haiti, and she was talking about how she had heard about some doctors had gone to Haiti, and they brought some food for themselves, unaware that there wouldn't be food for those people in Haiti, I guess. I don't know about that so much. There was only so much they could haul anyways. But they had food for themselves. They became aware that there wasn't enough food to feed these people at all. What was even worse to me, think about this, was there was the need, of course, for great medical attention. There were people in these types of circumstances. One of the things that happens often is the need for amputation. And she was telling me about how these doctors were sharing with her, that they were unable to, they didn't even have anesthetic. And that they were having to use hacksaws to remove these people's limbs. Can you believe it? That just kills me. I can't get over that, the pain of such a thing. They are so frightened that they don't want to even be inside. So where do they go? They have to be outside. I mean, I can understand that emotion and that mental trauma. So they're outside in 100-degree weather with humidity going on. They've got these raw limbs, no medication, no pain pill or whatever to eliminate the pain, and no one to take care of them, no one to address their needs, no one to change their dressings. So they sit there for a week. And when they finally realize, wait, we got to do something about their dressings, they take off the dressing and they are maggot infested. You know how gross, how ugly, how what a stench that is. I can tell you, I've worked cattle that have had pink eye and have gotten so infected that when you started to work on them, their eye literally exploded and it oozed and the stench was incredible. That's what your brothers and sisters and people that are your brothers and sisters in humanity are exposed to. You and I sit here in such peace and joy. Let us be sober and aware of what our surroundings are. And in order to complete the race, we must share what we can with those who have so much less. It's just unreal. It's just mind-boggling to me. I just rarely am I left speechless, but this is one of those occasions when I can't begin to even fathom or to express what that might be like. But you know what? As times go on and there is this completion point, we read of what's going on here. And you and I need to plan for that. We may not always be so comfy ourselves. Maybe we need that uh-oh plan that we've talked about before. Maybe we need to be aware that we will not always sit here enjoying a covered dish meal, sweets on the table, each other's fellowship. But before all these things, in verse 12, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You see, all these other things have happened. You've faced pestilence. You've faced all of these things. These are things that are going to happen before the end time. And suddenly now you are also persecuted. I won't turn there, but you remember what it talks about in Revelation 13, where it talks about having the mark. If you don't have the mark, you don't do business. You don't buy, you don't sell, you don't eat, really, unless you've put some planning into it. There's no running down to the Circle K. You can run down there, it won't matter, because they can't do business with you. Believe me, that will be quite an interesting time when you think about it. Can you imagine staring into the window and seeing all of this, and yet you say, I refuse the mark, so I'm not going to do these things? Best be in the hills, I think. That's just my, I'm not suggesting that everyone do it. I'm sort of one of those guys that doesn't stay in town too long if he can help it anyways, But before these things, you will be persecuted. In verse 13, but it will turn out. What will it turn out to do? It'll be an occasion for you to what? Give testimony. So often we avoid that word testimony, don't we? We don't want to talk about being testifying. Sounds too evangelical. Well, I don't know. It says we will give testimony. It says, therefore settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you are to answer. We talked about it a little bit. We talked about that earlier. But here it's telling us right here in this scripture, in verse 14, that God will be with us. That's the whole point of this whole plan here. This point that when you become a Christian, God is with you. Remember, we talked about his presence. We talked about his power. We talked about his knowledge. These are all within the plan. They're all within what you and I can have. They're what is the Holy Spirit. They're the power, the dunamis, that gives you the power to make these things happen. These things are here for you and I to take part in. And because of it, I would think, you and I will have that testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist, is what it says in the New King James. or to withstand. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will send some of you to your death. Choose your friends wisely. Know who you are. Prepared for the inevitable. Prepared for completeness. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. In your patience, possess your souls. In other words, be prepared, be patient, understand that these things will come to pass. Hebrews 10, please. You and I, remember, have been told to wait in essence on the Lord, that he will provide us with those words that are needed. He will give us the strength. He will carry us through what we must face if we have that faith. And we heard that particular verse mentioned this morning in Hebrews 11, verse 1, remember, about an actual definition of faith, a very short, succinct way of saying it. But in verse 26 of Hebrews 10, it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." In other words, if you turn your back on everything after you know, after you've lived this unleavened life, after you've gotten some experience with it, I realize we're not perfect. We didn't get it done totally. I don't know, you know, I have to say, I don't revel in anyone missing the mark, you might say, eating leavening, but I had to say it. It made me feel a little bit better when I heard of a minister eating some cornbread. I thought, well, okay, maybe it's not so. I mean, at least when I do eat something, I've got some company at least, and maybe I get, you know, the old saying, I guess, misery loves company. I don't know, but it was interesting to hear, and you could really sympathize on what was going on. But a certain fearful expectation in verse 27 of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse the punishment do you suppose will be? Will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? That is a huge statement. How much worse is the punishment? How much do you, and here is this rationalization here. It's, what do you think? What do you suppose? How much worse can it be to trample the Son of God underfoot? Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insult the Spirit of grace. That's so self-explanatory, it's incredible. Really, when you think about it, I mean, when you treat the covenant that you have with God, the Father, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it's just some common thing, like going out and partying and doing whatever you want to do, and you tread on this. How insulting is the Spirit? How insulting is it to the Spirit of grace? For we know how For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that is the ultimate judge. You see, after this completion that may come from dying a natural death, comes the judgment. And for those of us who are alive, in actuality, there is judgment. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulation, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Wait a minute, I guess that's kind of an interesting thing here too. It's, here was the newness of your life over here in verse day one. In other words, the first day of unleavened bread. And you started facing some of this trial and tribulation. You had to share with your folks maybe that you weren't going to go their way. You weren't going to do Christmas. You weren't going to do these things. You weren't going to have to share, say, a pizza with them during these days, or whatever it might be, or a ham sandwich. I remember my father used to be quite upset with me about the idea that I wouldn't eat certain foods. And he used to say to me, because my mother is Portuguese, you see, I became her son at that point. He would say to me, you're nothing but a Portuguese Jew. Now, you have to understand the way they were living and everything else. They thought we were Jewish. I could not explain to him, no, there truly are Christians that don't eat pork, and no, they don't do certain things, and no, they do keep the Sabbath. No, that's just Jewish people. But I had to be Portuguese because my mother is Portuguese, you see. So that was how he was telling me, you're her son. You've hurt me bad. But it was kind of cute, and we finally got to a point where we could laugh about it, I think. But we'll talk about it later. but it is one of those things, I read this, and of course it goes much deeper than that, but so many of the things that you're going to face, and you know as well as I do, peer pressure is an incredible thing. And particularly when you're first coming into the church and you're having to do all of these things and it's all new to you, you're not really sure sometimes. And sometimes you just want to swing the sword and let everybody else have it and say, why don't you get it? We heard about that previously. What do you mean you don't understand? What do you mean you don't get it? What do you mean you want to play with the Easter Bunny? I don't get it. And yet we know that unless God calls us, it all makes sense on the other side. But you notice it says you became companions of those who were so treated. That's why you and I can go other places. That's why you can go across this world and meet with people that are keeping the Sabbath, that are keeping the way we believe. And you have that covenant with them because God is covenanting with them. Because of that, you too can covenant with them. You share that peace. You share that common Holy Spirit. And that's what you have. For you had compassion on me and my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. There are those who have had to draw that line in the sand and make decisions that did not allow them to maybe go the way that they thought would be for them, and that they had to maybe give up that job, and they had to and chose to keep the Sabbath rather than to work. How many times has someone heard, if you go to the feast, you won't have a job when you come back? I will be honest with you, I've heard people tell me that story. I never had to face anything like that. I was truly blessed. I never had to face that type of situation. But I know people have, and it is difficult. Therefore, in verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That requires real perspective of time, doesn't it? Because some of this seems like it is so long and so arduous and so difficult. When will this end? Why do I have to go through this? Father, can you hear me? Can you not hear that this is really difficult? And yet put it in perspective. Put it in perspective. I worked for one place for 25 years. I thought it would never end. Now it's like, wow. I've been out 10 years. Oh, big deal. Who cares? It's all the... My family is sitting there going, I never thought I'd hear that one. Because really, I thought it would never... And I took it hard. And yet, in the perspective of things, it's hard to believe that's 10 years ago. And I can't even remember why I was moaning. Of course, I have a short attention span, but that's part of it. In verse 39, it says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, to destruction, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. Again, that we believe, we put everything in front of our physical need, and we achieve that spiritual need by setting that aside and understanding that eternity waits for us. If you think it's bad, it gets better. Read the end of the book. Believe it. It gets better. Colossians. Chapter 1. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into a kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether throne or dominion or principality or power, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things He may have the preeminence. I would ask that you write these things down quickly, because I can see we're tired. Write down 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5, which talks about the love of God. Mr. Scriber read Luke 12, 32, where it talks about, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Mark 8, verses 34 through 38, we need to follow Him in order to achieve our goal. Once again, we'll turn back, though, if you would allow me to Romans 8. Remembering that God has the preeminence, that Christ died that you and I can share with our Father. Any need that we have, any problem that you will face, He will be there for you. You see, we will face much. As the days continue, as the end of days approaches us, it would be ignorant of us, in my opinion, to ignore the fact that times are changing. That you and I have got to be prepared. I say that with desperation. Because here in America, we sleep. We do. Let's be honest. We do. Okay? We do. And we can't. We need to be sharing with others God's plan, His will. And yes, there will be wars, rumors of wars. There will be great pestilence. There will be earthquakes. There will be the reality of our lives. It's not always going to be across the street. I remember my dad talking to me about living in Tornado Alley and how he would oftentimes say that you could be across the street from a tornado and the tornado would tear up that other side of the street, and you would be left unscathed. Wouldn't even blow a piece of paper off the sidewalk. We're not always going to be on that side. And the people around you aren't always going to be on that side. I hope I haven't depressed you. I hope I have given you what is your reality. We have time. Remember what it talks about in Hebrews? I forget exactly what chapter. I think it's 6. I don't know. Where it talks about returning to some of the basics about some of the basic principles of our Christian life. And he says, while we still have time, you and I still have time. The lights are on. The air conditioning is going. We're about to take part in some snacks maybe or some liquid or at least try to wake up. These things afford you time. We can still sing a new song. But we may be alone sometime. And even if we're not, you got to be there for each other. Stand in the gap. Give peace to those around you. Because there will be need. Therefore, brethren, in verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you have lived according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's you. That's me. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. We cry out, please hear us. Please know that we need you, Father. Please know that we accept you as our great creator, God. Please know that we accept you as our healing God. Please know that you are omnipresent in our life and that you are omnipotent and omnipotent or something of that sort. I'm going to work on it later. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's who you share this calling that you have. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What greater gift could you have than the calling that you have and that you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you? You have the opportunity to complete the task that's been put before you. But more importantly, you have the opportunity to share with others that which is so beautiful and has been given the right to life through your existence, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May you always be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ and know that that sacrifice sets you apart and gives you the strength and the power to carry on.